Chapter 14 of Igeres HaKodesh, which can be found on page 461, 462. On the bottom numbers, on the top numbers, it's Kuf Chaf. And this is a very famous letter. This is a letter, it's probably one of the earlier letters. I don't know what year it was written. Additional parts of the beginning of the letter that appear in the letter. But it was written as a letter to ask for support for Kol Chabad at its very early onset. Kol Chabad is the organization that takes care of feeding the poor of Israel till this day. It was founded by the Alter Rebbe. And this one deals with, this one was sent probably in Elul, because it deals with Rosh Hashanah and giving tzedakah.
Okay.
So with no further, you'll probably, anybody who's been hanging around Chabad houses for any length of time will probably have heard of these concepts. It shouldn't be something new to you. So this is La'era Esa'ava HaYashena V'chibas Eretz HaKadosh, to arouse the ancient love and brotherhood for the Holy Land that each and every single Jew has within them an innate love of Israel, simply because it is our Yerusha, it is our inheritance. Avraham Avinu had self-sacrifice for it. He put it on the line. The Jewish people settled it with Yehoshua. They lived in it for 800 years and plus, and with the two Bate Mikdashim, and our prayers focus around our return to it, as we say every day in davening, three times, Echazena Einenu B'Shuvach Letzion Barachamim. We should see to it that our return to Zion in mercy. So we have within this innate love. And therefore, since we have this love of Israel, we should therefore have this innate desire to want to maintain the Holy Land. Okay, so now, then you're talking about desert and swamp.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much what Israel was, with no inherent economy, and requiring total and complete support from outside sources. Okay. How much more so now, when Israel is considered an emerged market, it's a developed country, and they have super highways, and they have cell phones, and it is self-sufficient. This should still reserve, because there always are going to be poor people in Israel. In fact, I saw, statistically speaking, that there are currently, according to the recent statistics, they take a census every year in Israel, 30% of Israel's population is under the poverty level. So the need for Kol Chabad has not diminished, simply because Microsoft and Sun and Waze and Facebook have offices in Israel.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, what percentage of that group of people, of that 30%, are self-imposed because they decide they're going to stay in Kol?
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't answer that question. I don't know.
Okay.
That does include, that includes Israeli Arabs as well.
Okay.
So you're right. It includes people sitting in Mea Shearim who are not working.
Right. Okay.
And it probably includes all the Chabad shluchim.
The new edict from April, no pay.
Yeah, poverty. Mm. Okay. So we have this natural and innate love. And therefore, this what he really wants to say, this letter really shouldn't be needed to be written. And that we want this love to be so developed like a burning, fiery flame within the midst of the person's heart, from the very depths. As though Hashem has instilled life in us today, and we just woke up, you know how everything's when it's brand new, it's like really exciting. So he says it should be the same thing over here, that our appreciation of the Holy Land should be such as though this was, this even better than he could say, what's the date, June 5th, or hey ER 1948, okay, when everybody was so excited and we got this new thing and then all the money started pouring in, okay? And everybody bought Israeli bonds. So it says, so therefore, Ruach Nediva Misnadev Am, and we should come now with a generous spirit to be giving to this people, Lamalas Yadam La Hashem, to fill their hands for Hashem, B'yad Malaya Arachava, with a broad and expansive hand. That it says, what's the maximum amount of tzedakah you could give to a person? Everything has a shear. It has there are limits. The minimum that you could give to somebody is a pruta. A pruta is approximately 1/100 of an ounce of silver, which at today's day would be about 15 cents. So if you give somebody, a poor person, a nickel, so I'm sorry you didn't do it. So you got to give the guy 15 cents.
Just give him a quarter.
Yeah, you know, so don't be such a cheapskate. You can give the guy already. Don't give nickels. Okay. What's the maximum? The maximum you could give a poor person is they tell you, I don't need any more. I have enough. Ad shiyomer die, until he says enough. Yeah. Don't give me any more. Okay? This is with our Chava. Beriboy achariboy mideshana v'shana. And it's going to be with more and more each and every single year. See, this is a problem. It says there are various books that list charitable foundations. There's something called the Michigan Guide to Charitable Foundations. It has a list of everybody who's got a registered foundation. The vast majority of the foundations in their guidelines state, we do not support, general expenses or working budgets. If you have a special project, if there's something unusual, an emergency, that will give. But if you're talking about your annual budget and you want our money, so we don't do that. Okay, so here it is. The Alter Rebbe was collecting for Kehillat Chabad. Kehillat Chabad didn't necessarily have emergencies because its whole thing was emergencies. Okay? Is this person needs food. So their budget was built in. How many emergencies are we going to be able to handle this year? And so I have no idea what that is. And so the Alter Rebbe says it's going to be each and every single year. This is one of the things is that you can get, like this meeting with the JCC today. Yeah. Okay, so the JCC said, we knew that there was a shortfall in the JCC, but the Federation said, we know that there's a shortfall in the Federation last year. We gave extra money last year. You want us to give extra money this year? It's money that's just going after money. And no, we're not going to do that. We're not just going to give money every single year so that things can stay the same. Yeah. So it's very unusual that the Alter Rebbe should really, what he's really asking over here is to give money so that Kollel Chabad can be run the same way every single year. And it's every single year, it's going and it's rising, it's getting more, the expenses are getting more. Like it is normal. This is a normal thing. That if it is that you you start out with one this year, so next year is two, then after that is four, then eight, then ten, etc. So there's an article, there's a publication that Chabad puts out, it's called Lubavitch International. So the cover story is about a food distribution center in Philadelphia. It started with three volunteers in 2010, giving to 15 families a month. And in 5 years, it has grown to 1,500 volunteers, giving to 3,500 families. Okay, why? Because they put a little thing in the card saying, if you know somebody who needs food, tell us. And so, chaver chaver eislei, a friend has a friend, and Baruch Hashem, there are 300,000 Jews in Philadelphia, and the poverty rate in for Jews is probably, in America, is somewhat equal to the poverty rate of the general population, so it's going to be about, 20%, something like that. So 20% of 300,000 is 60,000 people that are called impoverished. Okay? They help feed 3,500. So they're doing 5% of what would be the poor of the Jewish poor of Philadelphia.
Right.
Okay, and it's a massive undertaking. They have three warehouses. Okay, so every year it's going to get bigger and bigger. I'm sure I'll read an article in 5 years, and the numbers will be triple what they are at that place. Right?
Yeah, you're right.
5%.
Yeah.
Hamer kadosh elin hamer laaretz hakadosh hamizchadish hamizrabit tamid. Okay, but it says when you're talking about Israel and sending money to Israel, so it says giving money to Israel is always a good investment because it's the Holy Land. And the holiness is always increasing. This is where something might familiar come in. Kidiksiv tamid ein hashalal kechaba mereshis hashana bar achris hashana. As it says that Israel is a special place. It is the land upon which the eyes of it is the land which the eyes of God are upon from the beginning of the year till the end of the year.
Rebbe always said that.
Yeah.
This is where he's quoting from. I mean.
Yeah. Exactly. The haiva ad achris kulo ain't a moving. Why does it say from the beginning of the year to the end of the year? It's not understood. The end of the year is the beginning of the first, the beginning of the second year. So it should say that the eyes of Hashem are upon it always.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it say from the beginning of the year till the end of the year? So this is the famous question. Okay, you've heard this question before, Akiva?
No, I just surmised it. Go ahead.
Okay.
I was surmising too. Go ahead.
Okay, so he answers. This is a long-winded answer. He doesn't answer it in probably... I was hoping to get to it today, but I don't think we will. But he says... The answer to this question, we could answer it straight away. I could answer it right now. Okay, that's usually what I do when I talk about people in Rosh Hashanah, the significance of Rosh Hashanah, and why is it that if you notice that the calendars, the number on the calendar is going up. Last year was 5774, this year is 5775, and I make a prediction that next year is going to be 5776. And why is it doing that? Is because Milan Bikadusha Veloy Maridin. Because every year you're adding to holiness, And your holiness is accumulating because holiness is eternal. When you do something good, when you do a mitzvah, schar mitzvah, mitzvah, the reward for making a connection to Hashem is being connected to Hashem. And if a person does something afterwards to break a connection with Hashem, so we already learned in Egeres HaTshuva, there are 613 connections to Hashem. And if a person makes one connection, so that connection is made, and that connection is eternal. You can't take it away from them. So the good which we accomplished in the previous 5,775 years is eternal. It's accumulating. And so much so that what? The next year will be 5,776. Because we'll be on that level. And indeed, the Shalach HaKadosh writes that every year when we celebrate a Yom Tov, if it's a commemorative Yom Tov, for example, then we're actually on a higher level. The revelation is that much higher. Like, for example, he says, he gives this, I think this is in the Masechta Shavuos. He says that this year we'll be celebrating Shavuos 5775. Okay? The original Shavuos was 2,448. So we are 3,300... For 48 to 75, isn't 30? 30
something.
30, come on, 1 to 5 to 48 is 30 is 20.
I think it's not 33.
20.
75 minus
48 is
20. 33? I think so, 75. 78 minus 4. Oh, yeah, you're right, 28.
28, yeah. Okay, 33:28.
5 years old.
So the Shavuos that we'll be celebrating this year is 3,328 times more holy than Matan Torah. Wait a minute. What do we know about Matan Torah? Matan Torah was, Matan Torah. Souls getting blown out of bodies, mountains getting lifted up, mountains on fire, voices ringing from the heavens with no echoes, a whole pageantry
seeing
over there. Yes, yeah, seeing thunder and hearing lightning. We don't, listen, I mean, maybe if you stay up until 6 o'clock and you're delirious from all the coffee, and if you go to, like, say, one of these shuls that have all these, bring out the sweet table at 3 o'clock and you're sugar rushing by the time it's time to go to bed.
That's exactly where I go.
So maybe then you'll be seeing voices and hearing lightning, you know, so... So how can we make such a statement?
I have a hard time thinking what time is heavy when...
Yeah, so, you know, it doesn't compare. The Shavuos that, you know, when I'm sitting there saying Tikkun and falling asleep, it's nothing like what happened in the year 2448. You know, but the answer is, okay, because there's revelation and you don't see it, does that mean it's not revelation?
That's what's all human.
And it has to be.
The sun's not shining, right? I got it.
Yeah, it's accumulating.
It's a cumulative thing. That's why it's so great. It's not because...
Right. And it's not, that you have to see it, you don't have to see it, but we are definitely affected by it. Okay? It is a greater revelation now than there was then. And that's true with every holiday. That it's that many years since that holiday happened that we're accumulating the same revelation on a newer and higher level than in the previous years.
And what's wrong with us? That we can't see it.
If you could see it, you would drop dead. Just like they dropped dead at Sinai.
I mean...
And we're not, we got no guarantees that the Almighty is going to stuff your soul back in your body like he did back then.
I mean, we're taking this, if we consider ourselves further away from Sinai, that our, you know, we have the Tana, the Mamariam, the Noyam.
Yeah.
We're getting further
away. You want to talk about Yuridas Adoras?
Yeah, it seems like we're getting
That's exactly
further.
It. Our levels because gone. We cannot see the revelation, therefore we can be privileged to a greater revelation.
We can stand it. Oh, I get it.
Yes.
Oh,
okay. Okay? It's like standing out in the sun fully clothed. You're not going to get burned.
Oh, okay. So wearing five layers of welding out.
Exactly. And, if you're wearing welder's glasses, you could go look at the sun. Okay, so that's what's happening now. The same deal with Rosh Hashanah. It's a new light. It's a new year. Last year you gave, so we could say, what? Quite honestly, so what have you done for me lately? Okay, you ate yesterday, so today you're hungry. What are you hungry today for? You ate yesterday. It's the same. It's exactly the same thing. Why are you hungry? Is because today's a different day. Today's a better day than yesterday. You have to eat more today than you did yesterday. Or not more, but you have to eat. You have to eat again, right, in order to get through today, like you did through yesterday. So he says, this is the tangent. He's going to eventually get back to that point. Hashem b'chachma yisad aretz. It says Hashem founded the land with wisdom, which on a simple level is the same like kulam b'chachma asisa. You made everything with wisdom. The simple translation is that Hashem's really smart and he had a good plan. And he made everything really, you know, correctly. That's what the pshat in the pasuk is. But the Hasidic interpretation is that Hashem, what was the tool which Hashem used? When we say kulam b'chachma asisa, what is it that is the foundation for the world? Is chachma of Atzilus. Chachma of Atzilus is the foundation of the world. She said, "Ha'aretz hal yoinahu b'chinas mamali kalamim." Okay, what is it? Where does it really count? We know we have different systems how the world is enlivened. We've been talking about it already for 6 years already. And the main life force that is conveyed through mamali kalamim, the godliness which encloses itself into every organism, keeping it alive, more so than the Soviv Kol Omnim, which is keeping it in existence. Okay, you have to have both. You can't have one without the other. You can't have life without existence. You can't have existence without life. Okay, good, fine. That's what we're talking about. But the main thing is people don't want to exist. People want to be alive. And so we say that the main thing, the main thrust of our world is this godliness which is enclosed in it. Eretz HaTachtayna Hu Eretz Chafetz. That this is the desired land. HaMechuvana Kenegde Mamish V'nikra Al Shema Eretz HaChaim. And it is called, it's this, the land of Israel corresponds to this, it's called the land of life. Hinehu Nimshech Mahamshachas V'ha'aretz HaChachma Iloh. So it says, now, where is it getting it from? It's getting its life force from the highest levels of wisdom, Makar Achayim El Yainim, which is the source of the most sublime levels of life. As it says, and he's quoted this verse before, that wisdom enlivens its master. Which a simple interpretation there means that a person who is truly wise, you could call that person alive. A stupid person may think that they're doing okay, but a smart person who knows what's going on is looking at this person like being in the dark. Okay, so the person, ignorance is bliss, good, but the person is wandering, vulgaring zich around in the dark. He hasn't got a clue. He's clueless. What's going on?
But he's happy.
Okay, good. No, so
interesting. But so he's not in the end. He won't be.
But it's. I don't know about in the end. He could be happy the whole time because he just doesn't know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Comes out of it, he finds out he didn't.
Okay, there's a famous story. I probably told this story before about the Bala Gula of Eli Melech of Lezhansk. Eli Melech of Lezhansk wanted to get to Mezrich for Shabbos. When did he want to leave? He wanted to leave on Thursday night. So it's more than a one-day journey.
Oh.
Okay? But he told the wagon driver, push, 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 run, 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 run. They get to Mizrich, and it's like right before Lichson, or right after Lichson. And the Eli Melech of Lezhansk thanked the wagon driver profusely that he didn't have to spend Shabbos in a field, and he made it. And in the meantime, when you take care of a horse, even I know if you run a horse, you have to walk it afterwards. And it was Shabbos. He didn't get a chance to walk the horse. And what happened? The horse had a heart attack and died.
Oh. Yeah, sure.
This is this wagon driver's whole livelihood. His whole life is based on this horse. The wagon driver was so heartbroken that his horse died that he also had a heart attack and died. So now the neshama for a person to die on Shabbos, so the gates of Gehenna are closed. So this is not what they're going to do. They're going to let him into Gan Eden. This is a whole tadadam. Who is this guy? He's just a wagon driver. He doesn't know from nothing. Did he learn? He didn't learn. Mitzvahs, unav, asver, mitzvahs, davening. The words that he said incorrectly throughout his whole life in davening. He says there's nothing we can do about this guy. So one angel stood up and said, what are you talking about? The whole reason why he's here is because he had Mesiris Nefesh to make sure that the tzaddik wasn't Mechal Shabbos. That alone should be enough to get him into Gan Eden. So there's a whole debate, and finally he decided, this is the only story we ever heard of such a thing, they're going to send him not to Gan Eden, they're going to send him to the realm of imagination. Like I said, I never saw it in a book. This is the only story I ever heard of such a thing. Right. And they're going to give him, in this realm of imagination, they're going to give him a big, strong carriage with wheels that never need greasing and six strong horses and paved roads. And he'll be happy. He'll be riding along over here. And by him, it'll be, this is as good as it gets. Okay?
That's bizarre.
So, yeah. So, like I say, it's the only place where I ever heard of, the only place where I ever heard of this world of imagination, the realm of imagination.
That doesn't make sense.
So, but Elimelech Lejeune's got a hold of this information, and he dove into Hashem that the wagon driver's eyes should be opened up, that he should see he's getting a raw deal. So he got he saw that he sees where he is, he's dead. And he's in his world of imagination, and he should really be in Gan Eden. So he got off the wagon, and he started complaining. I belong in Gan Eden. And they finally let him into Gan Eden.
Yeah.
Okay, how do we know this story? I have no idea. Okay? Neshamas in worlds of imagination, or Gan Eden, or Limbo, whatever they are, they don't talk to me. I don't know how people know these stories.
The hardest part I haven't understood.
But this story happens to be in Shlomo Zevin's book, and all the stories of Shlomo Zevin were authenticated.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Good. Who am I to say anything?
I can't imagine getting a raw deal from Malach. You know, in
Malachim are always trying to give a raw deal.
But the court, the heavenly court, won't. That would think.
Always get away as little as possible. Here. Who nimshach maham shachas v'ha'aris chachmi ilo makar achayim el yoinim k'yisiv chachma tichy abayah. We did this. V'ha'ar v'ham shachas zu hi mischadeshes bo'or chadish mamish v'chol shana v'shana. So what comes down, the godliness that comes down is not exactly the same as it was last year. We all know this. Okay, when you start getting to a certain age, surely you don't know from this yet, but you start getting the aches and the pains, and things aren't as working the way they're supposed to work like they did when they were 20 years ago. You're the same person, you know? It's like, you know, the only reason why I know my age is because I have to stop and think which kapitel tillum I say.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying this kapitel tillum, so that makes me this old. Okay,
right.
But otherwise, you know, there's no difference in me, but, you know, I know that I'm not the same way I was 20 years ago. The chayas that's coming into me, it's not the same. Okay, in that case, it's diminishing. It's not getting stronger. So, I think what's happening, though, is more like the bag is wearing down more than the chayas is coming into it. So he says it's a new light that comes every single year. Ki hu yizbaruch achmasa echad, v'tachlis ha-yichud, v'nikru b'shem orin say baruch hu. Hashem and his wisdom are one. In an ultimate unity, such that we could call the wisdom of Hashem, we could also call it Orein Sof, we could also call it infinite. And it would be absolutely 100% true. Then the Sefer Abayar, Sefer Yetzirah, it says, Eser Sefiras Bli Mav Shein Lam Chus, Mahus, it says there are 10 spheres. They're Ein Sof. You got 10 infinities going on over there.
Each one is like an Ein Sof.
Each one is an infinity. So if each one is an infinity, how can you have 10 infinities? Okay, so it's a limited infinity, or it's an infinity within a parameter. Well, okay, it's a number set.
Meaning that, like,
it's no problem.
Like, chesed is like infinitely chesed.
Chesed is infinitely chesed, and chokhmah is infinitely chokhmah. It's not gevura, it's not bina.
Right.
A
one-dimensional line has infinite points on it, but it's still a one-dimensional line.
Okay, so we have these, it is still Ein Sof. The Ein Kets L'mailo G'doylus Ha'or V'Achayis HaNimshuk M'Meni Yizbar M'Chachmasu B'Iloy Achar Iloy Ad Ein Kets V'Tachlis L'Rei M'Mayos. So what happens is that every year there's another higher level of Chachma coming down into the world. How many levels of Chachma are there? There's an infinite number of levels of Chachma. Where are we up to? 5775. We got a long way before we hit infinity. Mashiach comes, we jump. Wherever we're up to, when Mashiach comes, we go straight from whatever number we're at to what to right straight to infinity. Okay. V'tachlis l'raim ha-miles ha-mile v'chol shana v'shana yored amer m'chochme ilah or chadish. That every single year there's a new light, there's a new level of godliness which comes down into this world. When does it start? It starts Rosh Hashanah. Okay. And it's never been here before. This is totally new. That at the close of the year, what makes it the close of the year? This is why it's from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. Because we know that Hashem on Rosh Hashanah appropriates a certain amount of elikus. Mm-hmm. And that amount of elikus, which has been appropriated for that year, Erev Rosh Hashanah, as the sun is setting, dissipates. It's used up. It's done. It's depleted.
But then what comes in is
what comes in by blowing the shofar the next day is the new next year's godliness,
which is bigger than the last one,
which is greater than the previous years. Yep. Va'achakach al yedei tekiyah shofar. Then, when we blow the shofar, v'hatfilos, and you have all the davening, nimshach or chadish elyon bevachinas elyona yoyser shem rodrigos chachma ilah. You got a higher level of godliness that comes in lahar la'aretz elyona l'dorim aleha to enliven this upper world and all that are in them. And everything in the whole entire Crusader Resalshus, it all gets it from new. We have a problem though. When is it that the old godliness gets used up?
Sunset.
Sunset the night before. When is it that the new godliness comes in?
When you blow the shofar.
You have 12 hours
of like banish Moses.
Yeah, we know that.
You got 12 hours over there where there's no godliness coming in. How are we staying alive? The old godliness got used up. The new godliness hasn't been delivered yet. So what's going on? How is it possible? So it says that's why a lot of people you sleep as little as possible. You don't go to sleep. They say Tillim. They do all kinds of things on the night. The first night of Rosh Hashanah is because the world is in existence only through a very superficial, and you could even say precarious, forms of Elokus coming into the world.
Did you say vicarious?
No, precarious.
Precarious, oh.
That's not how you said precarious.
It's very fragile.
So what else is going on then?
What do you mean, what else is going on?
Other forms of godliness, where are they?
There isn't. It's just this left, it's sort of like the godliness left a trace of some soviv kolomim, and the world is just kind of sort of being propped up for those 12 hours until a person blows shofar. I mean,
it's running on fumes?
We have it, yeah, it's running on fumes.
What about, don't forget this was done, but what about New Zealand and Australia?
I'm going to say, we have nothing to worry about because...
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, how long is it really?
Because there's 48 hours of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, when it's Erev Rosh Hashanah in Australia, it's the day before Rosh. It's the day before Erev Rosh Hashanah here, so they run out of their godliness 12 hours or 14 hours before we do. So by the time that we get to where we got to be, when we're closing, when the sun's setting in the Eastern time zone, so they're blowing shofar already. So okay, so good. The godliness is coming down. But 300 years ago, there weren't any Jews in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have that luxury.
Right.
So how is it enlivened? So the question is, the way that it's answered from the times of the Alter Rebbe is that it's a superficial godliness, sort of like, as Shaul wanted to say, we're running on fumes.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is why... It says, "Bal shloisha dvarim ha'olam oimid al teira avoda and gemilas chasadim." So people stay up, they say Tillim, they sleep less sleep, you know, and devote themselves to showing Hashem that they want to accept upon themselves Hashem is King. And they really mean business. And it was very common. It's a very common thing for the Rebbeim not to sleep the first night of Rosh Hashanah, just to stay up. It says about the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitch Rebbe, that he would stay up the first night of Rosh Hashanah and decide who gets to run which government. Since it is that Tzadik Geizer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, so he would say, is the Tsar going to live this year another year or not? It was up to him. And in France, who's going to be running the show? And in England, who's going to be running the show? In America, who's going to be president? So it was the Tzemach Tzedek's decision. You get to do that, I guess, if you're the Nasi of the generation.
Yes, yes. That's what I learned.
That's how he spent his Rosh Hashanah night.
Well, see why I couldn't sleep.
Yeah. It's just too much to go on. There's a lot of countries over there. I don't know if he was thinking about Nigeria and South Africa, but...
I wish he was working on North Korea.
Who knows? I mean, you know, there was only Korea back then.
Yeah.
And it was a kingdom.
Right.
As it says, that with you is the source of light, life, and by your light is the light appear. That means to say the life which is coming from the source of life. Can you do a little stop after the end of the parenthesis? As is known by those familiar with the Kabbalah, Shibachol Rosh Hashanah Hu HaNesira. That in Rosh Hashanah, what's happening is what's called Nesir. Nesir is a split. Mm-hmm. It's talked about, you've heard about this? Talked about that Adam HaRishon was created on Rosh Hashanah. And how was Adam Rishon created? He was created Zachar and Nekeva. He was created male and female, back to back. What did Hashem do? Hashem put him to sleep, separated them, turned them so that they faced each other, and woke them up. So what you have over there is the Zachar and the Nekeva now facing each other. What's the first thing that they did? They had Cain and Abel, which was like completing the unity. So the what happens now on Rosh Hashanah is you have this unification of Zah, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the masculine aspect of godliness, the Mashpia, uniting with Malchus, which is the Shekhinah, which is the feminine aspect of Hashem, such that there is a production of godliness suitable for that whole year. That's the purpose of Nisira. That's what Nisira does.
Old light, new light.
Yep. Umakabalas meichin chadashim al yoni yaser, and we get this higher level of godliness on a much higher level. And this is where we will stop. We are on page 463. The line that starts meichin, we're at the end of the parenthesis, and in the English, where is it in the English? Oh, it's on the first paragraph on the right side.
Yeah.
To be continued.